Okay, I've got a few review questions. Today we will be looking at Proverbs 12. Let's everybody sit up, and let's see who can answer these questions. So number one in our review, what book of the Bible are we studying? Everybody should know this one. What book in the Bible? All right, go ahead and say it.
Proverbs.
Now for the next one, raise your hand, okay? What is a proverb? This is a little bit harder. Yes, Miranda.
Like a poem, but a warning type, or it could be good, like a bad or good poem.
It doesn't have to be a poem.
It's like sort of poem.
There are some similarities. You're right. Can you, someone tell us something else about a proverb? How do we know something's a proverb? Ian?
If it's good or bad.
Okay, it talks about things that are good and bad. It teaches us. What else can we say? Okay, there's a verb in there. I'll agree with that. Andrew? Let me give you guys a hint. It teaches us something, and it the something starts with a W. Yes?
Wisdom.
Say it louder.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. It teaches us wisdom. And is it really long or kind of short? Go ahead and show me with your hands. Is it really long or kind of short?
Really long.
Short. A proverb is kind of short. It's like a sentence. It's not like a big story. It's just a sentence. Well, let's keep on looking. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Knowledge.
Very good. What is the opposite of wisdom? We've talked a lot about wisdom, but what is the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness, very good, or folly. Those both work. Now, how are wisdom and folly personified? We've learned about that. Are they, I'm going to give you three choices, are they personified as men, women, or animals? What do you think? All right, right there in the back. Men, women, or animals? Pick one of the three.
No.
Do you know? Okay, I'm going to pick somebody else. Yes. Yes, they're personified as women, ladies. Remember, we talked about them making a feast. Whose feast will you come to? The feast of wisdom or the feast of foolishness? They both have a feast, and they're saying, come, come and eat. Whose feast will you go to? I hope you'll go to wisdom's feast. Let's eat at wisdom's feast today. What do they both invite us to? A feast. I kind of gave that one away. So let's eat. Let's eat some wisdom. And we're going to find it in Proverbs 12, verse 1, which says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Wow, we want to be careful using that word. But when we hate instruction, when we hate someone who's trying to correct us, that's not a very good thing. So, here's the question. Do you love discipline? Ooh, that's kind of hard. What is discipline? There's actually two kinds of discipline, and we oftentimes don't like either one of them. Yes, what is discipline?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Like you get grounded?
Yeah, and like a punishment. I mean, we don't like that, getting grounded. Maybe something else, maybe at school, being sent to the principal's office.
Attention.
Wow, that's not very
attention.
Good.
Attention.
But can we learn from that?
Yes.
We can.
Not behind the paper that
you're just. And there's another kind of discipline that's also kind of hard. It's not as bad as getting grounded, though. What's the other kind of discipline? Yes.
It's being bad.
No? That's the first kind, when we get grounded or get a detention. What's the other kind of discipline? Maybe you want to learn something. You want to play. No, we can't have everybody talking at once, girls. Girls, do you If you have an answer, you need to raise your hand. But we can't all be talking at once. So, if you want to learn to play the piano, or if you want to be good in basketball, your coach or your piano teacher might tell you you need discipline. What does that mean? What do you think, Dominic? So if you have discipline with basketball, what are you going to do? Are you going to practice every day or maybe once a month? Yes. Discipline also means that you're going to practice and work hard. And sometimes we don't like that. We'd rather be lazy. But you love discipline, you love knowledge. All right, let's go on to our next proverb. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Now, I know that you guys are kind of young to think about marriage, but that is something important. And even now, you're building character, which will be very important to you later in your life. And so that's important to think about. Having a good marriage, it's about hard work and good character, not just about good luck. But let's go on to the next one. Now, we have a series of Proverbs in chapter 12 that kind of build on chapter 11. Do you guys remember chapter 11 and what Mr. Ryan said about the righteous and the wicked? Is it talking about the righteous from God's perspective or from a human perspective? Who remembers from last week? Yes. Exactly. Because from God's perspective, is anybody righteous? No, the Bible says there is none righteous. Nobody is completely perfect. We have all broken God's law. We have all messed up. So from God's perspective, we all fall short of God's righteousness. But here, this is talking from a human perspective, how we live our lives with each other. So no one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. Let's look at this next picture on the next slide. And I know it's a little bit hard to see here, but do you see the roots of this big old tree?
Yeah.
You see the roots here? Do you think I could walk up to this tree and just push it over? Maybe I want to move it about 10 feet. Do you think I could do that? It is, but do you think I could move that tree just by pushing on it? No, because it's rooted. And if we are rooted, then we won't be. We won't be shaken by the storms of life. So we need to be rooted like this tree. Let's go on to the next one. This is also about the righteous and the wicked. And it's about our thoughts. You know, our words are important, and we're about to look at that a little bit later. But did you know that your thoughts are also very important? Because what you think about will lead to what you say and what you act. And so the thoughts of the righteous are just. They're good and right and correct. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Your thoughts are important. Are you thinking about good things? Or are you thinking about bad things? Now you might say, well, I don't say it. But when you think about your teachers, when you think about your parents, when you think about other kids, what are you thinking about? Our thoughts are important because they will change the direction of our lives. Let's continue to look at the righteous and the wicked. At verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more. Remember that tree with the roots? They're not like a tree. You can just push them over. They might seem like they're strong, but they will be overthrown. But the house of the righteous, it will stand. It will not be pushed over. Looking at another one, let's continue looking at the righteous and the wicked. Now this has to do with animals. Does anyone in here like animals? Raise your hand if you like animals. So, maybe you have a pet. Keep your hand raised if you have an animal at home.
Not bear feet.
Okay.
What
kind of animal do you have? A dog. All right. Big dog or a little dog? Okay. What kind of an animal do you have?
I have a dog and it's a pit bull terrier mix and it's like a
okay. What about you? What kind of animal do you have?
Shepherd, pit bull mix.
Wow, you've got a lot. And how about you?
We got a pit bull.
Wow, a lot of people have dogs. Now here's something we can think about. How do we treat our animals? It says, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast. A beast is an animal. It could be a horse, it could be a cow, it could be a cat or dog. Do the righteous people treat their animals in a kind way or in a cruel way? Show me with your thumbs. How do the righteous treat their animals? Yes. They feed them, they water them, they care for them. But the wicked? Oh. The mercy of the wicked is cruel. They hurt their animals. They don't give them food and water the way they ought. Because they don't care. They care about themselves. They don't care about other people or other animals, even. So, let's think about whether we are acting more like a righteous boy or girl, or like someone who is wicked. Let's go on to the next one. And this one's a little tricky. I heard some of you trying to guess what
it's
the fruit is
here. Good.
Raise your hand if you... Don't say it out loud. I need you to raise your hand. If you need to look carefully, this is an unusual one. You will find it a lot in Israel, in the Middle East, not very much in America. So I'll just let you know it's a little unusual. So, what do you think it is?
I think it's a nut.
A what?
A nut.
That's a good guess, but it's not a nut. What do you think it is? Yes.
A plum.
That's a good guess, but no, not a plum.
It's either a pear, an apple, or a grape.
No, no, and no. Okay, I'll take one more guess. Let's see.
Like a rat.
Yes. Is that your answer?
No.
Okay.
Is it
what do you think it is? It's Roman's turn. Okay, I'll have to take someone else. What do you think?
It's a mango.
No, not a mango. It is a fig. It is a fig. Figs are very popular in the Middle East. Now let's look at the verse that talks about fruit. This is another verse about the righteous and the wicked. Whoever is wicked covets the spoil of evildoers. What do? They look at other people with all of their stuff. Maybe they look at their fruit. You know, their fruit trees have a lot of mangoes on them. Anybody like mangoes here?
I love them.
Well, they look at those and they say, wow, I wish I had those mangoes. Or maybe this other person just has a lot of money. And they covet it. They say, I want his money. That should be mine. I want what he has. But what do the righteous do? They're not coveting what other people have. No. The root of the righteous is bearing fruit. They are making their own fruit because they are following God and they're doing what's right. And they are fruitful. They have their own fruit trees. Maybe they have fig trees. And so they have lots of figs. And because they're righteous, you know what they do with their figs? Maybe they share their figs with other people who don't have a lot of money. Because they care about other people. Well, let's look at the next one here. And we're going to look at a few other proverbs that are a little different, but they're still from Proverbs 12. Better to be lowly. Lowly means to be humble, to not act like you're really fancy or rich or like you're the best. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. This is an interesting phrase. What do you think it means to play the great man? If I were to play the great man, what in the world would I be doing? What do you think, Levi?
Bad things?
No, it's not about doing bad things. But it might have to do with your behavior, and maybe even your clothes, and what kind of a car you drive. What do you think?
Yourself?
Say again?
Be yourself?
Someone who's playing the great man, are they being themselves? Or are they trying to be something they're not? Right. Are they pretending that they're rich or pretending that they're poor? Yeah. So maybe they just have a normal amount of money, but they buy the most expensive car. They buy the most expensive clothes. They have fancy jewelry, and they are pretending to be rich. But if you look at their bank account, there's nothing in it. And if you look at their credit cards, they're all maxed out. They are in deep debt. You know what? So much so, they don't even have bread to eat. Maybe they're eating, I don't know what they would be eating. Maybe they're eating the carpet because they don't have any bread. Yeah, that'd be bad. No, it would be better to act humble and have what you need than to pretend to be rich and have nothing. Let's look at the next one here. Ileana, go ahead and go on to the next one for us. Whoever works his land, this one also is about working hard and being diligent. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread. They're not going to be eating the carpet. They're going to have plenty of bread. But he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. What would be a worthless pursuit? What do you think? A worthless pursuit. Something that's not going to help you. It's not going to help anyone else. And maybe we do it sometimes, but we shouldn't do it too much. Anna, what do you think is a worthless pursuit?
Like, you're, pursuing after, something you don't really need.
But what would be an example of it? People sometimes do it. Like I said, it's not... It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Money?
But it can be a waste of your time.
Money?
No, money is necessary. We need to work hard and earn money. What would be something that could be a waste of time?
Legos?
If you spend all your time playing Legos, that could be a waste of time. Although I think some people may make money building huge Lego structures, so you could make money with it. What do you think would be a worthless pursuit?
Counting coins.
Counting your money? That would be a waste of time. Isaac, what do you think would be a waste of time?
Watching TV
all day long. Yeah, that's not... Most people are not learning a whole lot. What do you think would be a waste of time?
Phones.
Oh, being on your phone too much? Or like on social media, spending hours and hours on Facebook? That can be a waste of time. But there are many things we can do that are not a waste of time. Like spending time with your friends, reading books, maybe learning to play a musical instrument, or playing sports. Those things are good for you and good for other people. Let's look at the next one here, because we have another section to look at, and I don't want to run out of time. It's an important section on speaking and listening. both of these are important. Speaking and listening. So, can you tell me, what should you guys be doing right now? Speaking or listening?
Listening.
Yes, so let's look at what it says about speaking and listening. Let's actually go to the next one, because I think we need to move a little more quickly. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He says, hey, I know everything. I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. But what about a wise man or a wise woman, a wise boy or girl? A wise man listens to advice. They are willing to listen to others. Going on to the next one, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. This one's really hard. If you say something mean to a fool, they're going to let everybody know that you said something mean to them. But the prudent, they know how to control themselves, and even if someone insults them, they can just ignore it. That's hard to do. The easy thing is to react. They say something mean to me, I'm going to say something mean to them. That's the easy thing to do. It's very hard to ignore an insult. But sometimes it's very wise. Let's look at the next one about speaking and listening. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence. They're not saying things that are lies. But a false witness utters deceit. We're speaking the truth. We're not going to use anything that's not true. We're not going to try to trick or deceive anyone. We're going to give honest evidence. When we're doing our schoolwork, we're not going to copy something and then pretend that we did all the work ourselves. Let's look at the next one. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. You know, words can be very powerful. They can be like a sword piercing another person. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Your words can hurt someone or they can heal someone. Words are very powerful. Let's look at the next one here. Truthful lips endure forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, someone can tell a lie and maybe get away with it for a little while. But in the end, people will know the truth. And they will know who is telling a lie. But those who tell the truth will endure forever. Just like that tree that we saw earlier, well rooted in the ground. Looking at another one here. Another one about lying lips. What does God think about lying? Can anyone tell me what God thinks about lying? Yeah, right there. What do you think? In the back.
He doesn't like it.
He really doesn't like it. Look at what Proverbs says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. What does abomination mean? Does it mean that he kind of doesn't like it? Or that he really doesn't like it?
Really?
Yeah, really doesn't like it. But those who act faithfully are his delight. Why does God hate lying? What do you think? Why does God hate lying? Right? It's not good?
Because it will make, it could lead to dying.
It could lead to death. It could hurt a lot of people. And you know what? It is against God's own character. Because God is truth. And lying goes against everything that is good. It will hurt you. It will hurt other people. We all need to be careful about how we speak and how we listen. All right. Well, let's fast forward to the very end. So let's go to the last one right here. Oh, in the path of righteousness is life. We've seen a lot of things about doing what's right and doing what's wrong. What's the big deal about it? In the path of righteousness is life. That's the end. But in its pathway, there is no death. There is a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. And the righteousness that we need is not our own righteousness, but God's righteousness. Because look at this next picture. Would you like to pick up this rag from the ground if you saw it?
No.
Would you pick it up?
No.
Does it look clean or kind of dirty?
I'll pick it up and throw it away.
Dirty, dirty.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that our righteousnesses, our own goodness, is just like this, a filthy rag. As good as we might try to be, we cannot be good enough to be accepted by God. We need God's perfect righteousness. How can we have that? Through Jesus Christ. He came and he died for us and rose from the dead so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Have his perfect righteousness. That is the only way we can be accepted by God. And if we believe in Jesus, we should follow Jesus, and he will lead us in the way of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will help us to remember these things. Help us, Father, to not have lying lips, but help us, Father, to follow your ways. Ways of truth and of righteousness. And most of all, I pray that we will see our need of Jesus and of trusting in him for his perfect righteousness, for forgiveness of our sins. Please bless us now and the rest of our evening. In Jesus' name.